You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza. Alan Cardoza. Only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, I'm Alan Cardoza, and you're listening to Answers for the Family. This show was born out of a desire to help parents and adolescent services industry professionals alike to professional resources as they face critical moments with their children and or clients. Today, I am really glad to have a couple of guests that I've actually tried to get on now for quite some time, and I'm glad that they could make it. Today, we have parenting specialists Rick and Wendy Jensen. Rick and Wendy are the proud parents of 7 children. Wow, that says a lot right there. Their mission is to strengthen families through their books, newsletters, and seminars. They're the owners of several businesses, including First Rate Family, Signing for Babies, and Harmony Audio Recordings. Rick and Wendy have formulated the gold standard, a parenting system that teaches children values and responsibility. They share this system in their ebook called Positive Parenting Using the Gold Standard, which is developing discipline without yelling, spanking, nagging, or timeouts. I'll ask them to let us know where they can get this, but I want to tell you, you can also get it at their website, which is www.firstratefamily.com. Today, Rick and Wendy will be sharing the methods and inspiration behind this simple yet highly successful parenting program. Rick, Wendy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We're happy to be here today.
Well, it's great to have you. And as I said a little earlier, we were hoping to get you on. I think that you're a perfect fit for this show. And I got to tell you, my first question is, tell us what it's like having 7 children.
Well, it overall is great. We both came from large families, and we love children, and we always wanted a large family, and we wouldn't have it any other way.
You know, we've heard a lot of people who said, what are you trying to do, repopulate the earth? But I've heard someone answer that question in this way, where they said, well, I can't think of anyone better to repopulate the earth, anyone better to teach their kids. And so we are just happy to have 7 children, and we try to do our best teaching those kids. There's some pros and cons to having so many kids. I've heard people who have said, you know, that's children raising children, and that's really not fair. That's not fair for the kids who are raising the other kids. But we've seen things a different way. Why don't you go ahead and explain that?
Well, one thing that we've noticed with having a large family is that children learn a great deal of responsibility, and they learn to be independent at an early age. Mm. Even our young children, they can get themselves a meal, and the older children do help the younger children, and they learn to watch out for each other. And our daughter, she is just in demand for babysitting jobs because she's the oldest of 7 children. She knows how to cook. She knows how to clean. She knows how to take care of kids. And so everybody just wants her because she's so good at it.
Well, yeah.
And, you know, one of the... Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and I didn't even think about this ahead of time, but, I mean, you know, do you see that on more of a national level as one of our problems? Because I know we began as a country, in a sense, to where we had many children. I mean, and you did have the children that were actively involved in raising the younger ones. And now, I mean, we've really come to this, you know, 2.5 children being the ideal. Do you think that that has changed a lot in what our children know as they pass it on to the next generation?
Oh, I do. I really do. One of the things that I find is that in our big family, as Wendy mentioned earlier, you know, the kids kind of take care of each other, and we take care of them. And, you know, granted, it makes it so that we have a hard time spending one-on-one time with the kids, but we do it. But it just takes some extra planning. It takes some extra planning to do that. But I think that it does cause it does have a ripple effect. And when you bring kids into the world and you allow them to work together, there's a sense of camaraderie and teamwork.
Well, has your house become the neighborhood house where all the other kids seem to gravitate to?
Yes, exactly. We sometimes have so many kids over there. In fact, you mentioned that I have a sign language book, and one of the things we decided to do this summer is teach a sign language class to our kids and to any of the neighbor kids who want to come. And so the other day we had 22 kids over for this class, and then they just stayed and played and swam and had a great time. But, yeah, the kids love to come over because there's always something to do and someone to play with. So.
Well, and I think that's great.
Have a neighborhood hangout.
Yeah, I was going to say our home is sort of like that too, and it's where the neighborhood boys come. And from time to time, I know that some of the other parents, when they come to pick up their kids, they kind of look at me funny going, "You allow them to do that?" They're riding bicycles off of a ramp into the pool. Did you know that? I go, "Well, yeah, absolutely. In fact, I'm the one that taped the flotation devices to the bike so that it wouldn't sink, you know."
Oh, that's great.
But
I think if they're doing it anywhere, I'd rather have them be at our house than somewhere where I don't know what they're doing.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the best ways in which you can know what your kids are doing is to either have those things going on at your home, or if they are going over to somebody else's house, how well do you know that family?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit more. I mean, what do you think is the most challenging aspect of parenting today?
That's a really good question, but I would probably have to say technology. Because, you know, there's so much new technology that's coming out today that can be highly addictive. One of the things that I do as my full-time job is I'm a teacher. And I've taught junior high and high school. And I found that, the technology, the big thing in the schools today are the cell phones. And even though we live in an area where the school district has said that this is a no cell phone policy. They have a no cell phone policy in this area. One day I asked the kids in my class, I said, "How many of you guys have cell phones here today? I just want to see. I'm not going to take any away. I just want to see how many of you brought your cell phone here on this no cell phone campus." And 90% of them had cell phones. Now, I like cell phones. You know, I'm a guy who likes cell phones, but I think there's a time and a place, and the classroom is definitely not that time or place. And I've seen kids who have really become addicted to that, where they've got to have their cell phones. And so when you look at what are the challenging aspects of parenting today, if you're going to let your child have a cell phone, you need to be responsible with that child for that cell phone. I've taken cell phones away. I know other teachers in the district who've taken cell phones away, and we give them back to their parents. And some parents are really responsible when they come to pick up their cell phone and the kid's cell phone, and they make sure that child, you know, has some sort of consequence for using their cell phone during school hours or during a test or whatever it may be. But when you ask the question, well, what's the most challenging aspect of parenting today? It's got to be technology, because there's so many things that can be sent over the internet, whether it be, you know, terrible text messaging or bullying or mm-hmm. pornography or whatever it may be. Parents need to keep an eye on that type of thing that their kids are involved in.
Well, absolutely, and I couldn't agree more. Now, and would you add to that, you know, the best way that they can deal with that is to make sure that they are as knowledgeable about technology as their children?
Yes, absolutely. And that's why I'm glad that my husband here is so good with technology, because you really do. I mean, our kids just pass us up so quickly. They know how to get around things, and they're just so smart with it that we just really need to keep up with it so that we can keep an eye on what they're doing.
Yeah, I actually had one friend of mine who, when they receive their cell phone bill, they'll go through on their child's cell phone and check the times when they receive texts and when texts are sent. And if those are during school hours, then they take away their cell phone for a period of time so their kids can get it right. They know that they're not supposed to be doing texting or sending information during class time. So,
well, and it makes perfect sense.
Right. And another part of technology is that kids just become so addicted, and it just takes up so much time, whether it be video games or on, you know, these social chat work type things, or these virtual realities where they just get on and spend hours and hours and hours and get caught up in this world that's not even real, neglecting real relationships with their family or with others while they're off in some la-la land.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
There's one more thing I want to add to that question.
Sure.
That you asked about what are the most challenging aspects of parenting. I think that in our day and age that we live, there's a lot of things available to kids. And mm-hmm. I've seen parents who have really overscheduled their kids. They're just busy, 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 busy. And they don't even have time to be a family because the mom and dad are taking their kids here and here and here and here, and the child is spending more time with their coach than their parents. And that's a danger, I think. I think parents need to be careful of that kind of thing, of overscheduling their kids.
Well, and you're right. And I think we've all heard the thing of, you know, telling your kids, you know, I'm not an ATM and a chauffeur. You know, I really am more than that.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And you should be too.
Yeah, and I know when we pick up some of the children that we take to specialized programs, and when you were talking about the technology, it really made me think of when I've talked to parents and I've said, you know, I highly recommend that you don't allow them to have their computer in their room. You know, I spent, you know, behind a locked door. It should be out in a public area. And I've discussed that. And I had a parent recently that said, oh, you don't have to worry about that because we have it on a password. And I said, okay, great. I said, what's the password? Open it up. So they did the password, and I popped down to the history and I showed them, and I said, were you just recently on this porn site? Were you just recently on YouTube? Were you just recently on Facebook? Were you just recently? Well, no, of course not. I wasn't. And go, well, somebody was.
Yeah.
But you know, so
we got to give our kids some credit. They're very smart.
Exactly. And I'm saying, you know, they know this technology probably better than you do. So when you think, well, I've protected it because of this, hey, there are so many other ways for them to get, you know, to get online or to get to certain websites that then allow them to transfer to other things. And I've had parents say, well, I only let them go on the, you know, on the school website for the, you know, for their homework. Well, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
Check the history. Take a look at what's in there. Or if you check the history and it's wiped clean and it doesn't even show that they are on for the school, but yet you know that they were on there doing that, why are they wiping it clean?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
exactly.
So, I agree.
Yeah, and that's one of the best advice you can give, like you said, is to have the computer in a public place, you know, right there in the kitchen where you're always walking back and forth and where you can, yeah, definitely never in their room.
Yeah, I had a colleague of mine say that one of the other things that they do is they hook the computer up to two monitors, and there's one monitor down in the kitchen, and there's one monitor in the public place. And so whatever they're visiting or whatever site they're visiting, it's shown in both places.
Excellent. And I like that one.
Keeps the kids on their toes.
Mm-hmm.
But our responsibility as parents isn't to be, I want to call it the parent cop or whatever you want to call it. Your responsibility, I think, as parents should be more of teach them the right way so that when they are confronted with those pornographic sites or temptation to text or to send inappropriate information, that they don't do it. Because if I'm always being the police officer going and saying, no, you shouldn't be doing that, they're really not learning anything. And what are they going to do when I'm gone? Nothing's changed.
Right. Absolutely.
So if I'm trying to raise a child, I need to make sure that they understand the reason why they shouldn't be doing this kind of stuff and how it can affect them and how it can affect their overall family if they choose to be involved in this kind of thing.
All right. Well, let's talk about those parents or talk about things that may help those parents that are already in that situation where they feel that their child is difficult. They're already starting to struggle with things. They're already having problems with them cutting school. What advice would you give those parents in the best way they can deal with them when they've already started down that path and you need to reel them in?
That's a good question. Hopefully the techniques and strategies start, you know, right when a child is born at an early age, because it gets harder as they become a teenager. But it's important to keep those communication lines open all the time as a child is growing up so that they feel that confidence that they can go to their parent if there's anything wrong or even if they've done something wrong or if they have questions. Really important to keep those lines of communication open and not wait until a problem occurs and then not have that relationship.
Yeah, let me share something here.
Okay.
I have the opportunity to have a lot of kids come into my office and discuss things with me. And every once in a while, we call in their parents, too, depending on what the situation is. And I recently had an opportunity with a young man who had been involved in some gang problems and some also inappropriate activity, some other things that were going on. And he was put into a special program to help him overcome these problems. And he had messed up this last year, and he had made some terrible choices at school, and I called a parent in to sit down and say, okay, where do we go from here? And for me, it was really interesting to watch this dialogue between parent and son happening. You know, when Wendy mentions, you got to keep those lines of communication open, sometimes when you kind of look at it from a different perspective, you see that the lines of communication aren't open at all, but it's just one person who's learning. This particular young man who I was speaking about before was sitting in his chair while his mom said, now this is, you see what's happened? This is the reason why we don't belong to gangs, and this is why we don't crash people's windows open, and this is why there's problems going on. And she just went on and on and on. And I listened because my job isn't to counsel. It's to help the student pass their class and see what I can do to help them pass their class. They can go to the counselor for those other types of issues. But it was interesting for me to listen to this parent and realize, you know what? This parent has learned a really important lesson. They're never going to join a gang. But the kid, it just went in one ear and out the other.
Well,
it never affected him.
Yeah, you just used the word interesting, and I think it was killing you. It was killing you that you couldn't put on your other hat and go, what are you doing?
That's right, yeah. You know, and I didn't. I sat there and watched, and I thought, my gosh, you know, I wish this parent could see what's happening and why the kid's making the choices that he's making. And I would almost guess that he's going to make them again because he still hasn't learned anything. Mom learned something. She's not going to join a gang.
Right.
You know, but the kid hasn't. It's going to happen again.
Yeah.
And until he does, realize for himself the reasons why some of these decisions that he's making are bad decisions, it's going to happen again and again and again, and hopefully it won't happen at a time when it's too late where it might affect his life.
Mm-hmm. Well, now,
I
was going to say, when these things were happening, is this one of the reasons why you felt, you know what, I need to write a book about this because they're not making it my job as a teacher?
I don't think I understood that question. Say that one more time.
No, I was saying that when you're having meetings like this with the family, but you're in the role of the teacher, and when you're hearing these type of things, I'm guessing this is one of the things that maybe motivated you to start writing the books that you've written.
Yeah, it is. It is one of the things. And sometimes, you know, I'll break that role and kind of ask the parents some questions. Well, have you tried this or have you tried this? I had one parent come in and was saying that her daughter was having a problem and her daughter had her cell phone taken away. And she was, you know, talking about that those kind of issues. And her daughter was also having a problem in class and not doing very well in the class. And as I talked to her about that, she said, yeah, we wanted to come to school and we're going to go ahead and pay for her cell phone in order for her to come to school. And I just, you know, looked at her directly and said, so you're bribing your daughter to get her education? And she said, well, we want her to come to school. We want her to do well. I said, but think about that. You're bribing your daughter to get her education. Is that what your responsibility is? Is that what you want to be doing?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think she needs an education? And we actually had a really good talk after that. And at least she left with something that she could do something with her child.
And Wendy, I'm sorry, you had a comment earlier?
Oh, I was just going to say that if at all possible, when you talk to your teenager, if you can set up consequences before they happen, you know, sit down together and say, okay, you know, I'm letting you have the car. I want the car to be home by this time. I want it to be filled. And then if that doesn't happen, ask your teen, what do you think should be the consequence? And have them be in on it and maybe even come up with it themselves and decide together. That way, when they make that choice, they can't say, well, I didn't know. You know, it's there, then they know, oh, I knew this would happen, this is the consequence, and it's their choice whether to follow through or not.
Absolutely.
We have lots of experiences with our kids on that very, very thing, and it works.
Absolutely. And yeah, I couldn't agree more. In fact, it's very similar to the way in which I do things. But yeah, I've said the same thing with parents. If you involve them in the consequences prior to that, it's really hard for them to argue about it.
Exactly.
So, and actually, and while we're talking about consequences, I mean, what are the best ways to discipline your children?
I think, like Rick mentioned before, if you teach them correct principles and then allow them to govern themselves, but when they do make those mistakes, like you mentioned, we can't always be watching, but, you know, follow through with those consequences that they hopefully have helped set up in the beginning. But it is important to have consequences and to have boundaries set up, and that actually makes a child feel more secure so that they're not always testing the waters. Well, how far will my parents let me go before they do something? Let's kind of test the boundaries further and further and further. So one way to do that is with natural consequences.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if our children don't eat their dinner, then they're going to be hungry, and we say the kitchen's closed and you can't have anything else to eat, or if they refuse to wear their coat to school, they're going to be cold.
Mm-hmm.
Those are natural consequences. So those are the best way to teach your child, if you can make the consequence related to whatever their action is.
Now, why don't you go into detail about the book and how we do that with our kids?
Right, and yeah, that's what I was going to ask is that, you know, tell me a little bit about the book, starting with, I mean, what motivated you to write it, and then tell us a little bit more about, you know, how it is helping families.
Okay. Well, we have normal children. They whine, they complain, I don't want to do my work. We were so sick of them whining, complaining, not doing their jobs, having to ask them over and over and over to do something, to do a simple job before they would do it. And this was the motivation behind, we need to do something. We need to set up some type of plan for our children because we are just tired of this. And so what we did is we came up with a ticket system, and our children have so many tickets, and if they earn, they can earn these tickets through doing chores. They have a job list in the morning, jobs that they do regardless, but then they have extra jobs that they can earn tickets, and then they can use those tickets for privileges such as playing video games or playing with a friend, watching TV, or swimming. So they don't have this sense of entitlement. We can just do whatever we want, whenever we want. But it's given them a sense of accountability because they know, okay, I do this, I earn two tickets, and I can use those two tickets to play video games. And then if they earn 10, they can earn a prize from the prize store. These are a little bit more for our younger children.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they earn 20, they get a special date where they can go out with mom or dad, and they love that. They can go out for pizza or go out to a fun center where they can play games, and it works so well. Our children, they each have a pocket where they put their tickets in, and on our website, if those who purchase the program from our website, which you mentioned is firstratefamily.com, people can actually go and download the tickets and just print them off on their computer, as well as the book and all the information on how to establish this with your children.
But
it's worked so well. It's helped so much with our family and other families to encourage our children to work and to be accountable.
In fact, let me share a quick story with you. One of my colleagues that I work with, I was talking to him about this token economy that we're doing in our home, and he said, well, you know, Rick, I want to give that a try. And so I, you know, gave me information and said, no, give this a shot. And he came back to work the next day and he said, I can't believe this. I woke up this morning and my daughter, who's 5 years old, was emptying the utensils out of the dishwasher on her own.
Nice.
Nobody asked her to do anything. And I said to her, why are you doing that? And she said, I've got to earn my tickets so I can go over to my friend's house today. And he said, it works, Rick, it works. And it's great because you don't have to keep on pushing them and pushing them. They, if they want to do something, they'll earn the tickets for it.
Well,
it's funny because we have neighbor kids come over and they want to do it too. They say, well, I want to earn tickets. I say, okay, go clean my bathroom.
Well,
they're like, okay. And they run out over there and they're cleaning our bathroom. And
it's more our older children who they say, we want to have our friend come over to our house. I say, well, you don't have any tickets. Well, can they come over and help earn tickets? And sometimes we let them do that. Sometimes we don't.
It's just kind of funny though, because our neighbor called us and they said, what are you doing over there? Because our kids came home and they told us all about this ticket thing and they want to do it. And so we just kind of told them a little bit about it, and their kids were really excited to start it too. And it gets them excited to work so they can earn those privileges.
Yeah. I mean, I can't see a better way for a family to get involved in it is if their kids are coming to them saying they want to do it. I was smiling for a moment when you mentioned about the date night. Is that working with the teenage ones too?
Oh, yes, especially the teenage ones. My daughter loves to go out for a hamburger, loves it. And one of the things that I enjoy doing that, one of the reasons why I enjoy doing it with the teenagers more is because you can have a more in-depth conversation with them. You know, it's not about what's going on and what kind of fries they like to eat, but it's about, hey, what's going on at school? Tell me about this particular friend, and it's great. My daughter, though, doesn't go on the ticket system as much as the younger kids anymore. But she's still on a system.
Okay.
And she loves to have me take her out and go shopping. And, you know, if she's done the things that she needs to at home, then might, you know, take her out and let her pick out an outfit. Or, you know, the things that interest them is what's important for that they can earn those privileges.
Well, what would you tell some of our listeners that would say, I'm afraid if I started that they would want to have the date night out and to specifically not want the parent to go with them, but have them still pay for it?
Well, that's not how it works.
I know, but...
that's probably what I would say as a parent is, you know, the thing is if you're trying to start something right now with your family because things aren't going the way they need to, the best way to start that out is to have a family meeting and discuss the reasons why this needs to be started. What's happening in our family that's not right and what needs to be made right? And then talk about the plan you have. And then make adjustments to the plan as everybody comments. And if they say something like that, well, you know, I'd really like to have a time out, and I'd like you to pay for it, but I really don't want to go with you, I would probably just say as a parent, well, how's that going to help our family?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I want to bond with you as a child, I can't bond with you by just forking over $20.
That's right. Well,
you could talk about it and work something out if that's, you know, if they want to date out with friends. Because we do have, you know, the kids can earn late nights with their friends.
Sure.
That's another thing they can earn with tickets. So
you can kind of
work that out as a family. It is something they can earn as well. But I think it's important they have those one-on-one times with the parent too.
Well, in this day and age of divorce, obviously many families are dealing with with parents living in two different places. Does it explain it? I mean, if somebody goes to the site, or can you explain it to us also? How do you do that from a divorced family to try to get both families on the same page and on the same system?
That all has to do with communication. Mm-hmm. I mean, communication is going to be the key right here. And if one parent is not willing to do it, this isn't going to work unless they're at your house most of the time. If you could talk to the ex-spouse and say, you know, this is what I want to try, would you be willing to do this with me?
Mm-hmm.
It would probably work. But the whole thing is all about communication. You've got to have that. And if you want to try it, your spouse, who your child is going to be at their house half the time, they're going to have to be in on it, because if they're not, every time they come back to your house, you're going to be starting over.
So
it would be ideal if they could work together and kind of have the same system at both houses. If not, it's something, again, to be worked out. Well, this is what we do at our house.
Now, on your
website,
I would say on your website, I think is there a blog, and has there been that question, or is that the type of question somebody could put on there so that some of the other families that are using it might talk about the things that they went through to get to that point where it was working?
Yes, we do have a blog and where people can write in and comment. And let me just give you that address.
Okay.
It's First Rate Families, plural. So it's just like the one, but firstratefamily.com, but it's firstratefamilies.blogspot.com.
Okay.
And then also on our website, we have a free newsletter where people can go and sign up for this free parenting newsletter and receive letters a couple times a week. And then people can also respond to that with questions. And we try to take those questions. We do get a lot of questions like that, or, you know, I'm a single mom. How do I work this system in my home and things like that? And
okay.
So we try to take some of those questions and answer them in the newsletter or on the blog where other people can comment.
You know, but one of the things about the questions, these questions are general and hopefully they'll fit someone's paradigm on what they're living in right now. But one of the benefits that we have is if you purchase the book, one of the things that we do is we have free email consultation on people who purchase. So if they want to go ahead and ask their personal questions and say, how do I deal with this? This is the age of my child. This is where we're at. This is what's going on. We can go in and answer a little bit more directly instead of a general answer.
Right.
And then if they start through the parenting system, the gold standard, and then have questions that come up along the way, then we're happy to answer those questions and kind of help them get started and help them along the way as well.
Right. And I would imagine with seven kids, there's probably not many things that they can go through that you didn't have to go through at one point in time.
Right. That we have or that we will.
Sometimes. Right.
Yeah, there may be some, but...
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, do you have any other projects lined up for the future that would benefit the audience?
Yeah, we do. Right now I'm assembling a team where we're starting to put some things together on a curriculum. It's a family-based curriculum where the teachings actually come from the parents. And the team is a great team who I'm working with. And hopefully that'll be coming out soon. We've gone through and we're trying to design this curriculum that would help parents in their homes become the great example and to be able to be the good teacher so that their kids can look up to them and, again, open up that communication gap, if there is a gap, so that kids can ask parents questions and parents can ask kids questions, and it'll open that up. And so what we're designing right now is a curriculum that has different types of activities that will help open up those communication skills with both parent and child. And we're looking forward to that coming out soon.
Well, in fact, that actually... I had an idea on my way here as I was driving to the studio, and I thought, how neat would it be to have a follow-up, but to not only have us on, but for like me to have one of my sons on and you to have one of your kids on, and then have them throw out questions maybe from their point of view, which then could also tell our, you know, in our press release, tell our listeners, you might want to, during the summer, have your kids listen, because if you have them listen, we're planning on having a different point of view. So I was going to ask you this at the end, but I'll bring it up now. If you like that idea, maybe we can set something up later in the summer, have you back on, but again, have one of your kids on, have one of mine, so you'll have both questions and answers coming from the child point of view.
That would be fun. You know, we'd have to talk with our kids about that, but I think they'd be interested in that.
Yeah,
I think we'd have
that
a lot
sounds
of fun
like a great
that.
Idea.
Okay, well, good. Well, we will
get it from a team's perspective.
Yeah, we'll plan on that one. In fact, actually, when I started the show last summer, I had my two sons, one a tween and one a teen, and one of their friends on. And then someone called in and asked a question, and one of my sons looks over and goes, well, I can't answer that in front of him. Dad, can you leave the studio? I got kicked out of my own studio.
but they did answer it.
And I got up, left, and the three of them ran the show for a little while until they reached over and tapped on the window and motioned for me to come back in.
That's great.
So, well, let me ask you this. I mean, what do you think the greatest obstacle facing our youth today, and how can we properly prepare prepare them for this? You know, what will proper parenting help our youth to overcome these obstacles?
That's a good question. I mentioned before there's a lot of temptation out there with kids right now, but there's also a lot of temptation with adults. And I think kids look up to adults as leaders and role models, and they should. But one of the problems that we've been having is that some of our adult role models and our adult leaders are falling behind. Their morals have just kind of gone on the toilet, you know, on some things. And we've seen it with corporations, with the Enron scandals. We've seen it even in our current economy today and what that has caused. We see things where political leaders have left their spouses to go out and have sexual relations with other people, and it causes havoc in a family. Mm-hmm. And kids are seeing this, and in some instances, they may look at that and say, oh, wow, well, so-and-so did it, so it's okay for me to do it, because they don't see the after effect as much as the actual scandal. And so when you talk about the greatest obstacle facing youth today, that's it. I mean, it's out there, it's wide open, and anybody can see it. It's on TV, it's on the Internet, it's everywhere. And parents have got to help their kids understand that that's not the right way.
Right, and it's not acceptable.
The ideal situation is that family situation, that family situation that's a team. It's not just living together. That's not the right way. It's where you're together with a commitment, mm-hmm. a commitment that is filled with marriage, and you have a family and you're a team, and there's a sense of security in that. Parents need to bring that security into the home. They've got to do that, because the security certainly isn't outside in the streets, and it's not at school. No matter what people may think, the security is not at school, mm-hmm. because there's some schools who can't teach that, the morals that are going on. And so parents need to make that center, that secure center in their home, so that when a child comes home, they feel safe. It's the safe house. It's the safest house there is.
Right. And I think I even brought this up last week. Just because you see something on television doesn't make it acceptable. And in this day and age of reality TV, and I know, you know, my sons, they turned on something and it was a guy that, because of the fact that at one time he was a great skateboarder or whatever, you know, that he can get his own TV show. And then, so on the show, he disrespects everybody. And I said, okay, that's one of the shows that is not acceptable in this house. And they said, well, but why? And I said, because he does not respect anybody or anything. And that's not the way that we're going to do things. He doesn't respect his parents. He doesn't respect anybody that he's dealing with. That's not something that's going to be a part of this household. But I think many of the kids, because it's on television, and even some of the parents, I think, get sucked into where they go, well, it's not like it's on, you know, it's not on a cable channel that's X-rated, so it must be okay. No, that doesn't make it okay.
Yep. Right. Yeah, our kids need to hear that from parents, and just they need to know, clear cut, you know, this is what our values are. One thing we've heard that you can do with your family, and that we've kind of tried to do, is have a mission statement for your family, mm-hmm. and your children know these are our values. We are the Jensens. We don't do this and this and this, and we do these other things, and so that they know what those are. It was funny. I had my kids. I went to work out, and they were at the little child care center, and there was a show. They had some little cartoon on, and my boy told the lady who was running the child care center, oh, well, we're not allowed to watch that show. Can you turn on something else? And I thought that was really neat that he would do that. And I had never said anything about that show. I'd never even seen it before. But he felt like it was not appropriate, and so he made that judgment call. And I thought, good for you.
Absolutely.
Don't love him.
Absolutely.
And he was just 8 years old. So.
Well, good.
I think it's neat when kids can stand up for themselves and know what those values are.
Well, and one of the things that I wanted to make sure we did, and before we run out of time, but can you share with our audience maybe just one of the methods from your book that you utilize, and maybe one of the ones that's your favorite?
Okay. We talked a little bit about tickets, but one of the things that's worked great in our home, and I know others have commented on this as well, is something that we call love tickets. And we have our children, when they do something kind for another family member or something else, or they show obedience right off, or
show
proper respect, or something like I just mentioned with my son that's, you know, kind of out of the ordinary that we're proud of him. We write what that is on the little paper, and we have a jar. It's called a love jar, and we put those things in the jar. And the kids can also nominate each other. They see something. Oh, wow, you know, he shared his treat, or so-and-so got their younger sister a bowl of cereal for breakfast. You know, just simple little things like that of helping each other out, doing something kind or an act of service. We write that down, and then we put it in the jar.
Yeah, it's that old saying, catch him in the act. We're
yeah.
trying to catch him in the act of doing those positive things.
Well, yeah, yeah.
And then reviewing those things with the kids.
Right.
Absolutely.
And then at the end of the week, we have a drawing, and we draw out those names. We take the first three, and then those three earn three tickets of the regular ticket. And then we take them all out, and then we read each one and what they did, and we give everybody a round of applause and talk about how, oh, that's so neat, you did that for your brother or sister, and talk about it and give them that positive reinforcement for something good to be able to teach them.
It's fun to watch the kids' face, too, because, you know, some of them just get this look of glee on their face when you read it, and some of them might even say, I don't remember doing that. Well, I saw you do that, and I thought it was really neat, and which makes them think, wow, I'm doing this kind of stuff naturally. That's
right.
Great.
You know, well, first of all, I really like that, but let me ask a question about it. So anybody in the family can, for lack of better words, nominate somebody by writing something very positive that was done for them or that they observed. Am I getting this?
Right.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. And then,
we're looking for positive things instead of just always negative things.
Right. And that's what we call it, is catch them doing something good. And I even tried when I was a room dad to add that to the school, you know, in each class. And I would talk to the teachers about it, and I'd go, here's what, you know, here's a little thing that I do called catch them doing something good. And I would bring certain treats or certain things. And, you know, I'd run over, because as a room parent, you know, I'd kind of be in the back of the room. I'd work with four or five kids, but I'd see something and I'd run over and I caught you. And they'd look at me like, for the first few times, go, what did I do? Like this. And I'd hand them a treat. And I caught you doing something good. I saw you help them like that. So yeah, I'm so behind that. I think that's great that you're doing it. And I love the way you're doing it, because anybody can nominate. I think that's great.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, before we run out of time, let me just ask, I mean, what resources can parents use to improve their family situation, yours or any others that you're aware of?
Okay. There's so much out there, and a lot of times it's just a matter of finding it. Religion can be a great help, support groups, extended family hopefully is there to back parents up. There's books, websites, family talk shows like this one is a great resource. And my husband and I, we actually taught a strengthening families class in our local community that anybody could sign up for, and it was free, and it was just a great program. And I think a lot of communities probably have things like that people just need to tap into. And like we talked about, we have a free newsletter on our website,
right,
which is at firstratefamily.com, that people are welcome to sign up for. And people are also willing, if they want, they can contact Rick or I. Our email address is rick@firstratefamily.com. Oh, I'm sorry. It's wendy@firstratefamily.com. And you can contact either of us there at that website if you have any questions, or go to our website or our blog.
Yeah, let me add something to that newsletter. Okay. I get newsletters, and sometimes it's just informational, and sometimes you don't have time to read it. And so one of the things that we try to do with ours is we try to keep them in short blurbs. Sometimes they're a little bit longer because a question's been asked, and we'll respond to that through a newsletter, and we think it's such a good question that we want to go ahead and send it out to our whole list. But another thing that, that we do that would be a great resource is to take advantage of ideas that other people have. So every once in a while, Wendy will send out a general letter where she asks for ideas from other parents, what kind of things they do. Mm-hmm. And then she compiles some of those things and sends it out to our list. One of the things that we started doing that that we have just had a bundle of fun with, in fact, that's where we're at right now, is we are at a recreational facility, and we take a week and celebrate Father's Day. And it has just become a great tradition in our house. We call it Father's Day Flea, because we all leave and go somewhere. And that's where we're at right now, is we're on Father's Day Flea. And during this time, you know, the kid, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay. During this time, we have lots of fun, you know, just kind of casual time, but we also have a very strict schedule on a few of those days. I invite one other family to go with us, and during that time, we have gone ahead and set up a theme for that particular week, and each parent will do a small lesson, maybe for like, I say an hour, because during that lesson, it's just not a lecture lesson. There's a lot of activities going on. And this year, our theme happens to be Choose to Choose, because we want them to be able to make choices and make wise choices. So we talk about, well, how to choose good friends, how to choose your attitude, etc. And each parent will go ahead and teach a particular lesson. Sometimes we put those lesson outlines on the internet and as part of our email list, so that parents can do that wherever they're at. They get to choose the recreational facility, and they get to do it however they want. This year, our opening social, that's what we call it, mm-hmm. even though it's really not big, but we try to make it as big and fun as we can. Part of the lesson is going to be chewing gum and having a bubble-blowing contest to introduce our theme, Choose to Choose. Mm-hmm. And they're going to have to choose an obstacle course and choose the way to go in different things. And depending on how they choose will depend on how quickly they get back to the goal of where they need to be. And just fun things like that, those will all be part of the lesson. And then we go into things a little bit deeper. And it's fun to hear these kids comment, because it is a scholastic environment in a way, but mm-hmm. it's also pretty casual, so that the kids can have fun and they're learning at the same time. So when you talk about resources, a lot of resources come from other people and ideas, and you can take those and mold them into your own. And when you mold them into your own, there's nothing better for you and your family, because the family is the one who wants to do that. There's one year where we didn't do Father's Day Flea, and I never heard the end of it for the whole year. And so we do it every year now. The kids love it.
Well, and I think that's great, and I certainly couldn't agree more. In fact, I'm going to not ask you where you're at as far as this particular recreational facility, because I'm afraid that your own family thing would get interrupted, because a lot of us would go charging there to try to be part of it. So, I really appreciate you taking out the time from that to do this. And again, I'll bring it up. I want you guys to come back on. Let's do it. Let's put the kids on also, the teens, the tweens, whatever we can do, get their input on it. And I just thank you so much for what you do. And again, for everybody out there, it is the gold standard. It is a parenting system. I have just started checking it out myself, and what I have seen, it is incredible. And again, for more information, again, www.firstratefamily.com. Check it out. If you're driving and you can't write that down, you can always go to ours, which is answers4thefamily.com, and give us the question. We will pass it on. And again, Rick, Wendy, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
And enjoy your Father's Day flea. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye now. Founded over 24